I informed Toby and Allison that they can take a little bit of liberty tonight because I think that my comments will be briefer than normal. Glad you're here. We're introducing a topic on how to share our faith without getting into an argument. And that's what my intention is this evening. To start off on that anyway, let me open up our time with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have paid it all. And there's nothing that we can bring to warrant such a wonderful salvation. You invite us to be workers with you. You invite us into your task, your pleasure. You have demonstrated such a great love for us. And then having responded to that, you invite us to serve you. And that takes a multitude of different avenues and opportunities. And we give you thanks for the privilege we have to do exactly that. So, Lord, lead us, encourage us. Lord, may we be found faithful to you in light of our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we would begin, let's recognize that this is some of the clearest instruction that we have in Scripture, that Jesus has given to us. The fact that the Great Commission is recorded in every one of the Gospels as well as in Acts. In Matthew 28, I think this is probably the passage that we know best, in verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, now this is after his resurrection. And in one of the appearances that he met with the disciples, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that is normally identified as the Great Commission, our marching orders. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Luke chapter 20, verse 21, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sin would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And in John chapter 20, verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And probably the second most familiar passage in Acts 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. We have been given this clear instruction, and it is important to understand that as we go, we are not going alone. We are co-laborers with Jesus, with God. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity for each one, to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. so that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are fellow workers. We are God's field, God's building. Paul makes it very clear to the Corinthians that there is no hierarchy in God's kingdom, but we are just co-workers or fellow workers with God. Later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the first few verses of that chapter, and working together with him, Paul starts. He right out of the gate in chapter 6, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. And so even though Jesus wasn't present during that time, he was working with them. He is working through them. We do not do this on our own. It is not up to us for the results of this. We do have a part, and I want to quickly look at that part, but we are not in this on our own. Boy, we need to get that through our head, that this is not, it is not up to us, the results. Our part, we are to be his messengers. That's identified in the Matthew 18 passage and the Mark and the John passage, as Jesus has sent his disciples out, and so he sends us. In the Acts 1:8, we are his witnesses. In Romans 10, 14 and 15, it says we are his preachers. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now don't stumble over that office of preacher, because it's not what you're thinking of as someone who is, he is our preacher. It's witnesses, it's servants, it's messengers. We are his ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him in this way no more, no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so we have that task, that responsibility, even that office of an ambassador, as we would speak the truth. And it's humbling to realize, as Paul puts that, as if God was talking through us. We are just his instrument. We are his tool in his hands in which he is using us to bring the gospel, the good news, to a lost world. And so we have a part to play in this. But it's important for us to recognize God has a part to play in this. This is expressed in Jesus in John 6, 44 and 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learns from the Father comes to me. Jesus made that very clear, that he is in the work of saving people, even in the process of sharing, as we would share our faith. In John 6, 65, and he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you that no man can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." And listen to Paul's testimony to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 4. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so all of these verses are supporting that we are not in this together. And we better not be thinking that we're in this together, because we are only the voice sharing the good news. But it is God who is working inside, in the heart, in the soul, testifying of what we say to be so. So we need to understand that. We are not in this alone. And the result do not solely rest on our shoulders as how well we do. Though we need to know the gospel, though we need to be able to present it clearly and with authority. For the next few weeks that I'm scheduled to share, I want to focus on this, how to share our faith without an argument. And we will look into that method of sharing. The material I've got is from Bill Fay, who was a great evangelist, and he has worked through and he is presenting this method of sharing. And the first thing I want to share and to consider this evening is our approach, or introducing the topic. As we consider this evening, I want to remind you that we are just looking for information, not presenting our case, but just bringing forth the topic and looking for opportunity by which we may want to later respond. So when we ask the questions, it allows people to respond, expressing their viewpoint. People love to share their viewpoint. One of the easiest ways to get to know people is encourage them to share. Share what's on their heart. Share their experiences. Share their families. Don't challenge their opinions or try to enlighten them with your answers to these questions at this point. That's not the purpose of the approach or the introduction. It is to build that relationship, to build opportunity to share. And we'll be looking next time into how we can go from the point in which we have now opened the opportunity to share to actually sharing. If you do respond to these questions with your own insightful responses, you are going to go down all kinds of rabbit trails. And I am sure if you share your faith, you will have experienced like I have that all of a sudden you are all over the place. And you don't want to go there. You want to get so that it's just the gospel is being shared and to keep staying on that track. And so the first question I would suggest, or one of the questions that you can present, is do you have any kind of spiritual belief? That question does not ask the person if they believe in God. Being spiritual is very trendy today. Man, and it seems like that word spiritual can encompass a huge territory. And so they ought not to be threatened. You ought not to feel like you're threatening people by that question. Do you have any spiritual beliefs? That introduces the topic. And yet it isn't offensive or kind of setting them up at all. Be genuine in your query. As they share, listen. And listen with respect, trying to understand where they have come from. Maybe where they got that. If they answer yes or no, and that's it, just go on to another question. Don't kind of drag an answer out of them for clarification. And the second question, even though I've got five questions, the second question, this question I think is the most pertinent of these. To you, who is Jesus? Maybe before I go any further, I would invite you, how would you respond to that question? To you, who is Jesus? Just a real short response. The Son of God? My Creator and Redeemer. Okay. Good, my Savior and Lord. Now, just considering those three answers, what does that tell us about the source? What does that tell us? My Savior, my Redeemer, the Son of God. What does that tell us about the person who has just shared those answers? They most certainly have a faith, don't they? There is something that goes a little deeper. Yes, Graham. Okay. Good. Listen carefully if you have the opportunity of sharing that question. To you, who is Jesus? If there's anything to do with Savior, Lord, Redeemer, that will tell you that there is a depth there. Now, if they respond by someone who died on the cross, someone who was born in the manger, then you're really not sure where they're coming from. It's worth to take note that there is some background, there is some understanding, there is some history they've picked up somewhere, but it isn't really solidified when their response to that question is he's a good teacher, he's a good prophet. You might get those kind of answers. Those are all very safe answers, telling you that they have heard of Jesus, but there's no indication of a personal relationship or encounter with him. We live in a society that is becoming more and more illiterate when it comes to spiritual things. No, Christian things of God's answers. And so you may very well get I don't know. And that's okay. If they don't know, I guess you can jump into, well, let me share with them. But that needs to be intentional if you're going to go into the gospel presentation at that point. Another question, do you think that there's a heaven or hell? Or do you think there's a heaven and a hell? This question, for the most part, is fairly safe because it's an intellectual question. Simply asking what they believe may be on the other side of the grave. This may be responded to, that this has two questions. They may respond to is in, do you believe that there's a heaven and a hell? They may say, I believe that there's a heaven. I don't know about a hell. And that's fair enough. Or you may get, no, I don't believe that there's a hell. That seems to be very, very common today. Don't be shaken by that response. And don't jump on them for that. But take note of that, because that will determine the next question. If you were to die today, where do you think you would go? Now, if they don't believe in a hell, then probably that question is mute. There's no value in that. But I know people that ask this question on a fairly regular basis. In fact, I know people who that is their introductory question to evangelism. And this question moves from the intellectual to a much more personal one. And things are getting much more serious at that question. If you ask this question and people say heaven, you might want to follow that up simply by why? Why do you think that? Their answer will pinpoint their true belief. If the answer, I don't know, then simply move on to the next question. Personally, I do not use the third question, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? And I seldom use this question, if you were to die, where do you think you would go? That's just personally how I feel comfortable doing that, but they are valid questions. But however the conversation goes, this last question is a good question. If what you believe were not true, would you want to know about it? And and their response to that will tell you whether this conversation is going any further or not. If they say, no, I wouldn't want to know about it, then the conversation pretty much is done. You want to respect them. They have clearly told you that they don't want to hear what you have to say if what you have to say is different than what they believe. So they are content to go down the road. I was reading in preparation for this. Someone asked this question. It was with one of the cults. And they continue to respond by, but what I believe is true. No, that's not the answer to the question. If what you believe was not true, would you want to know it? And he had to ask that question 12 times before he got the response, yeah, I guess I'd want to know. And so we just don't know where things are going to go. But if people do not want to hear, that is entirely their choice. If they are going to a Christless eternity because they have not heard, that is our responsibility. We need to be open to share our faith. But we need to be careful as to how we go about doing that. We need to be intentional as to how we go about doing that. And so these are just some questions. You don't need to use all five by any means. And it depends on your relationship. If you know people and they know that you have a strong faith in the Lord, you can just go to, well, you know, I don't know if you've ever shared, but who do you believe? What do you believe Jesus was? And that may be the only question you need for jumping into a conversation. One of the things that I would strongly encourage you to steer away from is an argument. I don't know. It takes a unique person to be able to argue somebody into heaven. And some people are very, very well at just kind of taking out their foundations. I'm not one of those persons. But some people are very, very well versed in that. Interesting, in different surveys I've taken from spiritual gifts, almost all of them that I've taken identify me having the gift of evangelism in the top three. And I'll tell you right out, I do not have the gift of evangelism. But the questions that are answered in those questionnaires, if you are sharing your faith, that identifies that you've got the gift of evangelism. And I don't, but I've got a heart for people. And I believe that they're going to hell unless their way is changed. Because if you share your faith at all, you kind of rate high on that one in those spiritual gifts. But I want you to give an opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to share your faith, and not create a problem with it, but genuinely ask, sincerely ask, listen carefully to their responses. Next week we'll be getting into passages of Scripture, looking at the passages as to where you might want to take them and what you might want to prepare for them. And then we're going to take, I think that there's a gap in between, so the third session is kind of how to try to pull in the net and maybe identify with some common objections and how we can be prepared for that. And that will be in the early February. So I wanted us to take a little bit of time this evening also to pray. Deb, I'm glad you're here. Steve has left today. He's down in London, and they are going to be going. He and Pastor Louis, Pastor Louise, is getting on a plane tomorrow morning, and they're going to Mexico. And this ministry, this purpose is not only to visit believers who have responded to the gospel of salvation through the ministry here in Ontario, and there's a number of different ministries, but also to investigate if there is, what can be done or what's available for them. The city that they're going to is just it looks on the map a stone's throw south of New Mexico or Mexico City, but it takes an hour and a half to get there. So, boy, we are blessed to have the roads that we have. I had hoped, I knew that I was going to be short tonight, so I had hoped to be able to spend some time praying for Steve and Pastor Luis. That's right, Luis. There's another pastor that they're meeting down there. And his name's Pastor...
Elias.
Say it again.
Elias. Elias.
Man, my Spanish is... Well, doesn't exist. But I want to spend some time in prayer for this trip. So, let me ask for 4 volunteers who will lead us in prayer on these. No, 3, because I'll close.